Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the AGT Food and Ingredients Inc. fourth quarter and year-end 2017 financial results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Omer Al-Khatib, Director, Corporate Affairs and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Al-Khatib.
Thank you very much. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on our fourth quarter and year-end 2017 conference call. On the line with us today, we have Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of AGT Food and Ingredients, Lori Ireland, our Chief Financial Officer, and Gaetan Barasa, our Chief Operating Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve certain risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulations of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. This call may also include references to certain non-IFRS financial measures. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors and assumptions, as well as a reconciliation to IFRS measures, we direct you to our news release, our website, as well as our recent filings on SEDAR. With that, I'd like to ask Murad to make some comments, and then we'll go to questions. Murad?
Thank you, Omar, and welcome everyone on the call this morning. Thank you for your interest in AGT Foods. 2017 has been a challenging year for our business with earnings constrained, markets in a state of uncertainty, with conditions of oversupply, tariffs and duties, and import volumes to key consumption markets reduced in terms of short-term flows. We believe still the demand fundamentals in our business are unchanged. The long-term growth potential, with the impact of normalization of AGT's export and merchandising programs in future periods, is seen by management as likely. There are opportunities and specific components to our strategy, as well as evolving market conditions in our business, that support our view of what we believe to be the fundamental earnings power of our business as we look to markets normalizing in volumes, prices, and product flows. I'm going to discuss in more detail some of these points, but first I'm going to ask Lori Ireland, our CFO, to provide an overview of the quarter and the full 2017 year. Lori?
Thanks, Murad. The fourth quarter was impacted by global events such as the India import tariffs, which were introduced with no phase-in period and affected margins in the pulse and grain processing segment, as well as the bulk handling and distribution segment. The increased tension between Syria and Turkey has led to a rebalancing of trade flows of products from destinations other than Turkey for international aid agency flows. Governmental actions by the Syrian regime resulted in margin contraction on pulse and rice sales and also in the incurrence of ancillary costs, including demurrage and detention costs, repositioning costs, and repackaging costs, affecting margins in the pulse and grain processing segment. In both cases, the impact largely affected our cost of sales. In the pulse and grain processing segment, adjusted gross profit and adjusted EBITDA per ton increased when comparing the 3 months ended December 31st, 2017 to the 3 months ended September 30th, 2017. This is due largely to the harvest period in North America, allowing AGT to return to a broader product mix, including sales of its red lentils and yellow peas. Adjusted gross profit and adjusted EBITDA per metric ton decreased when comparing the 3 and 12 months ended December 31st, 2017 to the same periods in the prior year due to fewer metric tons invoiced in addition to lower margins on those sales. In the food ingredients and packaged food segment, adjusted gross profit per metric ton increased, while adjusted EBITDA per metric ton was consistent when comparing the 3 months ended December 31st, 2017 to the 3 months ended September 30th, 2017. Adjusted gross profit per metric ton and adjusted EBITDA per metric ton decreased when comparing the 3 and 12 months ended December 31st, 2017 to the same periods in the prior year. While volumes increased, margins decreased year over year due to product mix in the packaged food side of the business, as well as a higher volume of pulse ingredients sold to pet food customers as human food ingredient sales continue to advance. The bulk handling and distribution segment reported an adjusted gross loss per metric ton and a negative adjusted EBITDA per metric ton for the 3 months ended December 31, 2017. This segment was hit hard in Q4 of 2017 as it contains the business segment results for AGT India. AGT India, as an importer of pulses from Australia and Africa, incurred elevated costs of sales resulting from the imposition of duties on imports. Imports destined for eventual export were instead sold in the local market and incurred additional ancillary repackaging and processing costs. General and administration and marketing, sales and distribution expenses for the 3 and 12 months ended December 31, 2017, decreased over the same periods in the prior year. This is due to a reduction in certain advertising costs as well as a decrease in share-based compensation. Finance expenses for the 3 and 12 months ended December 31, 2017 decreased when compared to the same periods in the prior year. This is due largely to interest on bank indebtedness and long-term debt decreasing as a result of lower outstanding balances following the issuance of the preferred securities. In addition, LIBOR-based borrowing was utilized to lower our interest rates incurred on our syndicated debt. Maturities for Alliance Pulse Processors credit facilities and AGT's $200 million high-yield debt offering issue, it was completed in late 2016. Both have been extended to 2020 and 2021, respectively. And in August of 2017, AGT also completed a transaction with Fairfax for a 99-year no-call preferred securities in the amount of $190 million. This transaction provided capital that was utilized for the reduction of bank indebtedness. Net debt was reduced to $473 million at December 31, 2017, compared to $538.7 million at December 31, 2016. These transactions have helped to strengthen AGT's balance sheet and liquidity. In addition to the extension of the credit facilities, the covenants were modernized to suit the cycle of the business, with covenants moving to simple interest coverage and tangible net worth-based ratios, reflecting the strong collateralization of the debt and the effects of the Fairfax capital injection. In addition, the overall facility was reduced to $400 million and an uncommitted accordion was added so that AGT is prepared for increased needs as the current cycle reverses. At December 31, 2017, AGT was in compliance with all financial covenants. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Lori. We continue to believe in the long-term strength of our business and see the earnings constraints reported as cyclical and temporary. Some of the market conditions, such as global oversupply conditions, will continue to effectively resolve. As markets find the new balance and work through local production and seeding intentions in North America for pulses, which will impact volumes, and as these become clear, the volume and demand effects will become more clear. Issues surrounding duty and tariffs and non-tariff trade barriers we expect will continue to become clear to markets, providing certainty on what they are and how they may influence market and importer activities. Markets can be very resilient as participants in the sector are able to adjust their expectations and strategies on price, volume, and timing to fit current conditions as government interventions begin to subside. We believe this is what markets are doing presently, and that the materially reduced margins may have bottomed, and the signs of gradual recovery are beginning to emerge in the market as crop supplies of all pulses are now available after the completion of the North American harvest, and local harvests in India and Turkey are completed from last year, and new harvests are upon us. With local prices relatively low in consumption markets expected, we may have the impact of stimulating local consumption, aiding in decreasing oversupplies, and putting supply-demand dynamics back into balance, assisting the cycle in moving margins higher over time to more normalized levels, resulting in a gradually increased imports and consumption markets in 2018 and into future periods. The matter of duties and non-tariff barriers are being widely reported in the media and do not appear to be clearly understood. The government of India has stated its intention to be self-sufficient in pulses, which are staple consumption items for their population and a key part of their local agricultural economy. The goal of self-sufficiency is a lofty goal when considering water and land constraints and the growing income and populations of India. Basically, markets were well stocked, prices are low, and government intervention was layered into this. We believe local demand for pulses and staple foods remains unchanged, and that markets in India will continue to require lentils and peas from Canada and chickpeas from Australia to meet local demand requirements on a go-forward basis. The Indian government appears to view these conditions as an issue related to food security and to local agricultural policy, reducing their dependence on imports and ensuring higher prices to farmers, using these tariff and non-tariff barriers as means at their disposal. While the potential for introduction of duties was expected by the markets, they were introduced with no advance notice and left global agricultural exporters and pulse shippers, AGT included, exposed to cargo in transit that was subject to duty at arrival, causing ancillary costs, duty charges, and impaired margins, causing earning effects for all importers and supply chain participants. These measures have now been introduced. They've been digested by the trade, and new sales and activities are expected to proceed with these in mind as part of the nearby commercial reality of the pulses trade to India. The effects were largely recorded in Q4 2017 on lentil and pea shipments from Canada and chickpeas from Australia, further constraining the profitability of the industry and providing earnings effects for AGT. We believe the long-term solution to a non-tariff and clarity on duties is achieved through consultation with governments of exporting countries in India to achieve a resolution and the clarity, and the AGT will continue to provide whatever input and participation is required. Even under these conditions, our segments have seen gains, with margins increased from conditions earlier in the year. The bulk handling and distribution export business is being impacted the most by the current conditions. However, our pulse and grain segment and our food ingredients and packaged foods showed signs of both margin recovery in pulses and stability in food ingredients and packaged foods, demonstrating the long-term benefit of our diversification initiatives. Our food ingredient and packaged food segment is advancing as per our expectations and continues to grow, capitalizing on opportunities in both human food and pet food expected, and product and offerings being developed and introduced in the market. We're seeing some of the benefits of this segment as opportunities are realized in the potentially higher margin business compared to our core commodity business, gives us the ability to drive revenue, margin, and earnings growth. The tempered international demand for peas from Canada and the U.S. is providing competitively priced raw materials, which may benefit our segment margins and sales in the coming quarters. We see a positive outlook for this business unit. Even in the times of constraint in our global business, we're advancing projects aimed at pulse ingredient utilization in extrusion and blends that may further boost the utilization and increase the value of our starches, flours, and fibers. At Minot, we've completed the installation of our fiber milling line that was previously announced, allowing us to enter the non-GMO vegetable fiber markets with human-grade fibers for food and sterilized fibers for pet and humans. The continued opportunity to add value and increase margins in our fibers and our starches are a main pursuit in 2018 as we attempt to boost the utilization of our deflavoring and sterilization lines. We're happy with the overall progression of this business. Even within the segments most affected by market conditions, we're focused on initiatives to grow our bulk platform in Canada, which we believe will aid us long-term in maximizing the benefit of our logistics and rail infrastructure. This led to the launch of our agreement with Fiberco, expected to begin with shipping in the 2019 season through the newly constructed grain terminal in Vancouver. Permits were granted by district authorities in Vancouver in March 2018, with construction expected to begin shortly. Initiatives like our support of the Protein Industries Canada Supercluster bid, which successfully received over $150 million from the Government of Canada and with an additional $250 million committed from the Canadian industry, will be a boost for AGT's R&D efforts aimed at the areas of extruded pasta and snacks production, technologies, protein purification and isolation, industrial applications of starch and flours and biocomposites, and sale of traceable and safe value-added pulse-based packaged foods utilizing supply chain innovations such as blockchain. We've recently announced and completed other initiatives to remove impediments for strategic investors in our business, including our partnership with Fairfax. We believe our share price is significantly undervalued, and these amendments and changes allow our partners the flexibility to consider additional investments in AGT as opportunities may present themselves. We've also launched our NCIB. AGT cannot control the timing of the market recovery, and commodity cycles and tariffs are a reality in many businesses, including the ag business. But we will focus on being streamlined and efficient. We will responsibly manage our production, our inventory, and our purchases. And we will focus on maximizing cash flow, safeguarding our capital, and prepare for the expected normalization of the pulses and grain markets. We feel our company is becoming much more resilient and stronger in the time of adversity. Ultimately, it's our goal to remain competitive, position the company to ensure it has the ability to be among the first to respond when the market calls for more staple foods, grains, and pulses, and management is very confident this will happen. We remain confident in our strategy, we remain confident in our assets, and our ability to link with international markets and build a Canadian champion in value-added pulses and related processed foods will be to the benefit of our shareholders, and it will grow our company. I want to conclude by saying we believe the trough is behind us. We believe 2018 will be a year of recovery for our business. The steps we took to renew our syndicated credit to 2020, amend our covenants, and the completion of the Fairfax partnership gives the solid foundation from which to complete this year and for years to come as we build a strong, diversified, value-added pulses, grains, and staple foods company. I thank you for your interest in AGT Foods. I'm going to turn things back over to you, Omar, and we'll take some questions.
Thanks a lot, Murad. Operator, we'll take the first question, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then 1 on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. In order to accommodate as many callers as possible, we ask you to limit your questions to 1. You are welcome to rejoin the queue if you have additional questions. To withdraw your question, please press star, then 2. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Joel Jackson of BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Murad.
Morning, Joel.
Murad, can you give a bit of color in the food business? So did the four lines at Minot, did they run at 95%, or let me know what they ran at? Because if they ran at pretty full capacity then, it looks like your non-Minot volumes were down a fair bit in Q4. So maybe get a bit of color on that. And going going into the first half of the year, would we expect EBITDA to come back up in that business? I would have thought lower pulse prices would help you on margin. Thanks.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. Yeah, listen, when I look at that business, I mean, the one thing that, you know, we have to do is over time with the four lines, we have to look at, you know, quarter over quarter, not just, you know, Q3 to Q4. You got to look at Q4 over Q4. I mean, seasonally, volumes were actually up over last year. You know, albeit, there was a modest volume and margin gain, in terms of looking at things. But, Joel, on the Minot plant, you know, utilization still remained, very high. You know, again, we've got to consider we're snapshotting. So, you know, the shipping period in the last, part of December in particular, we see a very material slowdown in the manufacturing side in the U.S. So, you know, when I look at, you know, the pull of product over the course of the, you know, end of November to December period, we do see a major slowdown in that. And what we do is we do produce still, and then we have those products, available for sale in the first quarter. I do, expect that utilization is going to continue to run, you know, at a high rate. And we do expect that we're going to see those margin, pickups and gains, you know, with a lower raw material cost as a result of calmer export side. Couple of things I think are going to happen in this first half. We usually get very tight on product as we get into that April, May, June, July period. We're not going to have that issue with an adequate, carryout stock going forward. And we do expect that the longer-term contracts that we do have, you know, with the CPG companies, you know, we are going to benefit from the raw material cycle. So I do expect margins to improve in that segment over 2018. And I do expect utilization to continue at relatively high levels. And then we're going to continue that focus, as I mentioned in my comments, on the value adding on the starch side, on the fiber side. This is the key to boosting margins. So, you know, I think that we've got a lot of people focused only on, you know, when's line 5 coming? And line 5 will come, in due course. We're really focused right now on continuing to monetize the starch and the fiber fractions.
and looking more at additional flower opportunities, because we do have capacity available in those particular areas. So I have to remind everybody that the four lines are fractionation lines, and you know, there's a whole wide range of products that we can sell in the food ingredient business. In fact, if you think through it, flour sales, we aren't required to sell the starch, actually. They're actually in the flour. So the granulated flours, the granulated fibers, and you know, monetization of the starch into extruded applications, these are strong focuses for 2018. You're going to see us trying to take a look at co-product monetization as a way in which to materially boost our margins. So that's a strong focus. And that's going to tie very well into the protein supercluster, you know, where our projects are going to be focused not only on protein purification, but we'll also be looking at starch, flour, and fiber utilization in extruded snacks, bakery items, blends, pastas, noodles, you know, and even looking now at starch utilization for biocomposites and industrial applications. We're pretty excited about, you know, the value-added side of the food ingredient business, moving, you know, into more value-added food products, co-packing, you know, production of things like pasta and noodles. Those are things that we've got to watch out for in 2018, 19, and 20.
Our next question comes from Jacob Bout of CIBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question on the India market. So, Murad, I guess, what in your mind structurally has changed? I mean, it's pretty clear that Government of Canada trip didn't go very well with them increasing the tariffs post the visit.
Jacob, I'll tell you what. I don't believe myself that the duty increase on chickpeas was actually related in any way to the Canadian government visit. You know, I think that ultimately when we look at it, Desi chickpeas are a driving pulse in India. So you've got, you know, Desi Chana, which is Desi chickpeas, and you have Tur Dal pigeon peas, and then you have Black Matpay. Those are three main pulses that kind of drive a lot of the pulse, you know, local pricing. So I think that, you know, the duty increase on chickpeas from 40% to 60%, or really with the surcharge up to 66%, you know, is really aimed at, you know, continuing to curb the flow of chickpeas coming from Australia to allow the chickpea markets to also, you know, catch up and correct. So, you know, I think that we've seen kind of a stability in lentils. You know, the pea side is stabilized with the duty that's in place. I think that overall what I look at now is, you know, the Government of Canada visit, you know, was positive in one respect, in that in the joint declaration with Prime Minister Modi, the non-tariff trade barrier was addressed, and we're optimistic that issue will be, we'll make some progress on that issue with either a further derogation to allow the study of the systems-based approach, or we will have some sort of a permanent adoption of the systems-based approach. You know, we've made it very clear to the Indian industry to communicate to their government, they no longer need the non-tariff trade barrier lever. They actually have the ultimate hammer. The tariffs are in place now. So I think that, you know, Jacob, what we see in that market now is we at least have certainty. We know what the duty structures are today. You know, we think that those duties are set at an extremely high level. And so, you know, there's optimism within the industry that as the supply-demand fundamentals start to come a bit more in balance, we will start to see the reduction of those duties. And so policies even like allowing export. You know, yesterday the Indian government reduced the export duty on sugar from 20% to zero. So they're now going to allow duty-free export of sugar. So they have a glut of commodities in general in the country, and they want to clear that out and raise domestic prices and get back to a supply-demand balance. We expect now as an industry that as we see a normal average harvest in India, which is what I think we're seeing now, we see a fairly material potential reduction in North America in pulses, and we see an average at best crop in Turkey coming, that will probably set the foundation for not only stability in the structure, but you may see some easing of some of these import restrictions as prices start to escalate and they start to get worried a bit more about food inflation. So prices coming up to the minimum support levels is what the goal is now. prices above the minimum support levels, they'll start to worry about food inflation, and I think they'll ease the policies. So markets are adjusting. I mean, it's been a tumultuous period in India, and they're the world's largest market. But with a period now of government intervention with their hand deep inside the industry, you know, stability, I think, is ahead, and I think that's going to be a positive dynamic.
Our next question comes from Greg Coleman with National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Murad. I'm just trying to reconcile a couple things here. One, your comments on the call about, you know, the materially reduced margins may have bottomed and that recovery in pulses and stability in food is on the horizon, with sort of the published outlook that says a recovery in volume and margins, you know, could happen by late 2018. So my specific question is, are we thinking of Q4 sort of as a local max here or the road to recovery? And if it is the road to recovery, is it on the, or do you see it on the pulses side or the ingredient side with your new lines coming on, or both?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what you were going to see, Greg, on a go-forward basis is, first of all, you know, the trading and distribution segment, which isn't so material, but it is a drag on our earnings right now. That's going to return back to just a normal, modest profitability. We're being very selective in the activities that we're doing there. You know, we're shifting our focus in India away from import because, again, even though I think it's going to be stable on the duty side, there's no reason to expose ourselves to those types of government interventions. So we'll be focusing on getting that segment to stabilize back to a positive, you know, cash flow scenario. We think pulses will remain, you know, stable with a small, you know, potential of improvements in margin. You know, we're getting into the Q1, Q2 period, which I think is, you know, not normally from a volume perspective, the most dynamic periods. You know, but again, once the crop outlook in India is a little bit more known, we have seen that if that crop is only average or slightly below average, we could start to see some of those stocks that didn't move start to move in that period of May, June, July, August. So, you know, we'll be ready for that. The food ingredient side, you know, it's not about volume now. I mean, line four is running at relatively high utilization. It's about that co-product stream. It's about, you know, the long-term contracts that we have and monetizing these to improve our margin profile and to increase our free cash flow in that business. We're quite optimistic that 2018 will be a pivotal year, you know, for that particular business as we actually start to shift it from just a food ingredient business into a food manufacturing and blend development business. So we're looking much more at the granulation. We're going to be looking at small strategic investments, you know, in things like blending capacity and things like the potential of starting to produce, you know, products that will go into, you know, other manufacturing processes. And, you know, we've added a new pelleting line again, which allows us to, again, offer granulated solutions. You know, you want, you know, powders, we have it. You want coarse powders, fine powders. You want it coagulated, you want it loose. So we can do every kind of application and food ingredient, you know, granulation within that particular factory. So as we're moving through the applications, we're learning what the other, you know, customers' manufacturing capabilities are and how we can actually optimize their extrusion processes. That's giving us a competitive advantage long term. And we think that the stability in the raw material price, in particular the pea price, being, you know, quite constrained in North America, is going to have a positive impact in margins as we go forward in 2018. So overall, I think that, you know, the gradual recovery will be led by markets recorrecting over the first half, and then by the second half, we start to see some normalization, maybe a bit more volume. Because this isn't just a margin story. I mean, our volumes were down roughly 200,000 tons year over year in this quarter. That's pretty major. So we know that ultimately, once these pipelines regulate, they're going to have to refill at some point.
Our next question comes from Keith Carpenter with AltaCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Lori, I just had a question on a comment you made in your opening remarks. Can you provide detailed numerical color on what you deem to be one-time in nature in your cost of sales during the quarter, i.e., what you added back to adjusted EBITDA, the dollar amounts related to the Indian duties and tariffs?
Yeah, the The cost of sales were impacted in the range of $4 to $6 million due to the additional tariffs, and that was on loads that were in transit that had to be resold into the local market, and additional duties paid on them.
Okay, perfect. And then just my last question, what's your estimated CapEx for the year?
For 2018?
Yes.
Our CapEx is quite limited for the upcoming year, so we're estimating in the range of $20 million growth CapEx at the most.
We're already, kind of in motion, and we're going to be finishing up. We've got a, inland, container terminal project with CN Rail that we're working on that's going to complete in 2018, and then we've got, a couple of, as I said, these strategic, investments in the value add side for the food ingredient that we're going to be completing over the course of this year.
Our next question comes from Cihan Tunke with GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Murad. Just wondering about the working capital consumption situation. Given the year-over-year decline in revenue, we were expecting a release of working capital, but it looks like there was a big chunk that got chewed up. Could you talk about what was the primary driver of the consumption of
working
capital? And then also just how you see that relationship and the working capital position going into Q1 and for full year 2018.
Good question. Listen, what we're seeing is as a result of the constraint in the North American agricultural industry. So, the slow movement of commodities, and there's a much published, commentary on the freight side of things. The rail fall downs. Currently emergency hearings being convened by the Standing Committee on Agriculture in Ottawa. So, commodities in general haven't been moving well as a result of both, rail infrastructure issues and then demand constraints, in general. What we've seen on that side is that farm receipts are down dramatically. The normal flow of commodities haven't been moving through the course of the fall season. So what we see is on a normal working capital cycle, you'll start to see inventory and receivables building in the fourth quarter, and you also see payables building. Because in a lot of cases, every year I make this commentary on the annual results, the only legal income smoothing in Canada is for farmers. They are allowed to defer their checks from one crop year to another, and CRA allows that. This year, we didn't see any of that. In fact, we actually saw a reduction in our payables of up to $90 million. So that was, again, Australia, Canada. Like, farmers were demanding, and we were attempting to procure, into, very tight margin scenarios. And so, the payables actually reversed course on a normal seasonal cycle. So that was the big driver of the consumption. If you look at, receivables came down, inventory went up, which is a normal part of harvest in North America and Australia, even with reduced volumes. But payable reduction isn't a normal course for Q4. What that's going to bode well for is Q1 and Q2. We're going to see that, reduction in inventory and receivables, and we don't have the payables that are going to also have to be reduced accordingly to consume cash. So we think there will be a fairly material generation of cash over the first half of the year, which will then be going straight into cash flow from operations and then debt reduction. So I'm expecting a fairly significant reversal of that in the first half, and I'm quite confident in our ability to deliver that.
Our next question comes from John Chu with Laurentian Bank Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Murad. Maybe just talk on the pasta issues between Canada and Turkey. Does this potentially prompt the need for or the idea that of revisiting the pasta facility you had looked at in Western Canada, especially now that you've got the rail infrastructure in place to really facilitate a more vertically integrated strategy there and give us a sense of if you're looking at that, maybe on the timing?
Yeah, John, the pasta duty issue, we gave some good color in our disclosure. you know, Canada Border Services has convened a determination of whether or not there's a subsidization or any dumping going on of Turkish pasta into the Canadian market. The preliminary determination, you know, when you read out the findings, you know, we were quite pleased, actually, that the conclusion was that there was, you know, no injury determination in the preliminary, but there was a, quote, threat of injury that warranted a full tribunal hearing. We're actually, you know, quite, you know, positive. We want the full tribunal hearing because the evidence is going to be quite clear. Turkey is a, you know, a market-oriented exporter of pasta. And, you know, from our perspective, John, Canada is one of, you know, 60 or 70 markets around the world that we ship to on a regular basis. You know, it's a material market for us, but we have a strong, you know, ability to redirect that volume to other markets if there was some sort of a negative determination by Canada and some imposition of duty. We expect it to be a positive resolution in this matter, so we don't expect there's going to be any big issue. But, you know, if there was, again, we're talking in hypothetics, you know, we would look at, you know, whether or not there was an opportunity, you know, to produce pasta in North America. But at this point, you know, we're focused very much on the utilization of the Turkish plant. You know, we have, you know, countries all over the world that are going to be continuing to demand. And it's not only about pasta production. It could be actually moved to noodle production for North Africa and for Asia. So we are in the production of wheat-based, you know, pasta and noodles. You know, we think there are a lot of markets around the world. We think this is going to resolve itself. No plans to rekindle traditional wheat pasta production, you know, in North America in the very near term. Long term, we do think there's a fundamental opportunity to produce wheat pasta and pulse-based blends. So we're going to be looking at the production of specialty pastas. We think that's the big opportunity, and we think that we have proprietary technology, you know, including patents that have been filed on the production of gluten-free pasta. So we have a couple of patents pending currently, and you know, we are very excited about our intellectual property around the deflavoring, the heat treatment, the sterilization, and the utilization of that in extrusion processes. So we believe our scientific capability is going to provide us with an advantage that's likely to lead to manufacturing.
Thank you very much, Murat. That brings us to the end of our the questions in the session. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on the call. I'd like to remind anyone that's still on the call, if you have any follow-up questions, you can feel free to contact us at our Regina head office, and we'd be more than happy to follow up with you and speak later on. Again, thanks for attending the AGT conference call, and we'll close the call off today. Thanks. Have a good day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.